Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, Dr. Jennifer Fenton, MSU Food Science and Human Nutrition Department, a lead researcher there. Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, we thought this was very important news when we talk about something that has become, I think, prevailing wisdom to a lot of people, and maybe not quite true. Whenever we talk about colon cancer, this can be a very serious matter.
It's possible, but this is primarily a mouse study where, there's limited translation to human population. And again, it's one model where we had bacterially induced inflammation in the colon. And when we fed the mice higher doses of fish oil enriched with one specific omega-3 fatty acid, DHA, which many people probably know from the back of their fish oil supplement, we actually increased inflammation and colon cancer. But at the lower dose, like a 1 gram a day, which is recommended by dietitians and nutrition experts, we had no promotion or worsening of the lesions in that model, the inflammation and the colon cancer.
All right. Well, I don't mean to minimize the importance of mice. I have a lot of friends who are mousy. But when we talk about research like this, doesn't it always start with mice?
It does. So if you think about what we call, there's people, doctors who write about what's called causal inference. And that means, how do we decide that one thing causes or affects another? And mouse models and cell culture are all part of what we call biological plausibility. And so when I think about this work, I was actually very surprised by it. I hypothesized the opposite. I'm bored with the everything is good in terms of fish oil and the supplement. And what we actually are saying now is, hey, maybe there's a tolerable upper limit to the intake, just like there
right.
is for many other nutrients.
Sure.
Even water, right, can be toxic at high levels.
Yeah, so, we're not saying fish oil is snake oil here. We're saying that there are some things that maybe have not been made public, and we have seen fish oil bandied about as maybe the cure-all for everything.
Yes, and maybe take a step back, and what we need is a marker, a way to measure intake, just like we do with vitamin D. You go in, your doctor says, okay, your vitamin D is a little low, we've got a blood test, we know how much to supplement to get you where you need to be. There's lots of studies saying what those levels should be, and that type of research is missing for omega-3 fatty acids mm-hmm. that are found in fish oil.
It may be more difficult to simulate this or replicate this in mice, but is it possible, Jennifer, that this would not bother some people at all, but others who have some chronic conditions, maybe they have inflammatory bowel disorder or something of that nature, might be bothered tremendously by this and might be more prone to develop colon cancer?
That is actually what this mouse model, that's exactly right. You're talking about susceptible populations versus those that aren't so susceptible. And this model is actually a model of bacterial-induced inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we talk about is the early immune response, and that was actually impaired by fish oil. So they had a harder time clearing the bacteria out of the colon when we infected them. And so, yeah, you could think about someone that if you, again, it's mouse, so we have to be very careful, but you could think, okay, maybe there are some populations that aren't as good at clearing bacterial or viral infections that you might think about, okay, maybe I should just be getting my N3 or my omega-3 fatty acids from foods at levels that we know from long-term diet studies are
right.
safe.
Right. We've heard it said that whatever you need to be healthy is there in the diet if you eat smart and you don't overdo things. Once again, sometimes we're talking about extreme quantities of something, but there are bacterial infections that affect all of us from time to time. So I can imagine that we would all be susceptible to some degree.
Well, again, what I have to clarify is certainly that in the U.S., on a typical Western diet pattern, where you don't have a lot of intake of fish and shellfish, things that are high in these omega-3 fatty acids that are necessary from the diet, most people, in fact, that's been shown, have a deficiency. And so if you're not eating the correct diet, then there's an obvious need for supplementation, similar to our vitamin D issues.
Okay. All right. So are the levels here more than even would be seen from someone who would take a daily supplement?
Well, there I've argued with people about how to decide how you convert from mouse to human to think about these things. We do it on what's called a percent of energy or calories in the diet, because fatty acids are not like a drug. They're a little bit different, and right. Some people would argue, no, we need to use drug metabolism. But if you use the convention in research, people with fatty acid research, they use the percent of energy, we're looking at 1, 3, 5, and 8 grams a day, and 3 grams can easily be gotten from a supplement, I mean, and potentially from food, but the higher doses, again, you have to be taking a lot of supplements.
All right, if you have fish in your diet every day, you don't eat beef, you're tired of chicken, you're eating tons and tons of fish, are you going to be in position here where this could ever be a topic, or is this strictly a matter with supplements?
Well, we don't know the answer to that question because we don't have a marker of intake to follow that in humans right now. And it's very expensive to measure. They take your red blood cell out of your, when they draw a blood sample, and they measure this. And there's a few small companies, but it's very expensive. It's hundreds of dollars to get that test. So it's not mainstream yet or utilized in large studies. And that's a topic for our future research goals in my laboratory.
All right. Dr. Jennifer Fenton, MSU Food Science and Human Nutrition Researcher, our guest. Jennifer, last question. What's next?
What's next? So we are working on a grant to the National Institute of Health to actually look at both the DHA and EPA, two different fatty acids that are more similar to what you would find in food, so closer to the foods, and then looking at how that compares to these markers in blood and eventually in humans. We have collaborations with the Macomb Osteopathic Medicine and community GI clinics there to start to do this work in humans.
Very interesting. Maybe we'll talk again when the study proceeds.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Dr. Jennifer Fenton, MSU Food Science and Human Nutrition Researcher, our guest.